ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, Text 20, chapter entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Arayopihi Sandeya Satikaryartha Gaurve Ahi musikavaddeva hi artasya padavim gatai arayopihi sandeya sati karyartha gaurave ahi musikavaddeva Yartasya padavim gatai arayopihi sandeya sati karyartha gaurave ahi musikavaddeva yartasya padavim gatai. Matajis, please. Araya, enemies, api, although, he, indeed, sandeya, eligible for a truce, sati, being so, karya artha gaurave, in the matter of an important duty, Ahi, snake, musika, mouse, pat, like, deva, O demigods, he, indeed, artasya, of interest, padavim, position, gati, katai, so being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, O demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Purport. A snake and a mouse were once caught in a basket. Now, since the mouse is food for the snake, this was a good opportunity for the snake. However, since both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it wise to make a truce with the mouse and asked the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them can get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. This is called the logic of the snake and the mouse. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunivadi Paschatya Destarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Very beautiful purport, Prabhupada, as usual. So, this chapter and many other chapters of the Bhagavatam is showing us how the devotees respond to calamities. And calamities not only in this world, even in the heavenly planets. As we can see, there is like struggle for existence. The demigods, you know, even as big as they are, even in higher planetary systems, they are going through so much crisis. Just to make a, you know, comfortable situation within this world. And as we know, the demigods, to become a demigod, we have to have best karma. It's not a cheap thing. And most people nowadays, Prabhupada said, they won't even get a human form of life. Padma Puran says about 3 million birds we have to wait to get a human form, and even like a in the human form, generally speaking, without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to wait like million birds to meet, come across a devotee. And nowadays, you know, the way people are behaving, Prabhupada said, you know, it's cat and dog society, which means, you know, they're so attached to cats and dogs that they become one. So the demigods, it's not an ordinary birth, but even with such good karma, you know, they're suffering so much. And it's not like all the demigods, you know, made mistakes. It's just Indra. You know, Indra made a mistake. And Indra actually offended Durvasa. And all the demigods had to suffer. And the offense Indra committed, you know, in a sense, is like, you know, it's no big offense. It was just, you know, it was just a negligence. When, you know, sometimes out of envy, you know, Indra was afraid that Vishwamitra Muni was performing so many years of tapasya. And Indra was afraid he's going to take his position, so he was sending all kinds of heavenly girls to allure him. And he's made worse offense than that. But this time, he was not so offensive. He was just negligent. You know, imagine like Even in Krishna consciousness, when we are preaching, we get like so many garlands. We've seen like Prabhupada with so many garlands, you know, so heavy, so beautiful. But imagine you're like the king of the heaven. How many garlands like Indra must be getting, and what kind of quality and fragrance, and very special. So for him to receive another garland, this was nice, but it was no big thing. So he gave it to the elephant. And the elephant, being an animal, it crushed the garland between his legs. And just for that, you know, the demigods had to go through all these things we're reading about. And it's a very clear instruction for us how, you know, negligence is actually a beginning of our fall down. It's like one time Prabhupada was chanting these Jaya Om prayers, and one devotee didn't bow down, he was just standing. Prabhupada pointed to Sruta Kirti Prabhu and said, you know, this is the beginning of his fall down. So even a small thing, we may think it's a small thing, but it all starts like that. You become small and then it grows and grows. On the other hand, Prabhupada said, you know, appreciation is actually the beginning of spiritual life. Just like all of us, you know, it's not like, you know, we were, you know, searching for Krishna. Some great souls in Krishna consciousness did. But mostly like we were just going about, you know, doing our business, and then some devotee intervenes and gives us, you know, something, prasad or books or, you know, invitation. I remember on my 19th birthday, I was wondering like, you know, whatever people do on their birthdays, you know. I was wandering in the middle of the night, like 12:30, with my friends, hungry, you know, all the shops are closed. And then there was one Mataji selling bliss balls in the streets, you know. And then she was like in sari and looked very saintly, but I was like not fully conscious to ask her any philosophical questions. So I asked her how much she will give me for like $50. And she gave me the whole basket, like, because we had like 7 or 8 friends in. So we were sitting down eating like bliss balls and strawberry milkshake in the middle of like freezing winter and appreciating how nice these sweets were. And then, you know, then he met a book distributor, and then somebody else. I can't think of any other reason, you know, except for that appreciation and introduction. I'm sure in every devotee's life, you know, a devotee appreciates something, and then the newcomer appreciates, and the devotees are eager to engage them in further service. We invite them for Harinam, for classes, for prasadam, you know, we sell them Bhagavatam set, Chaitanya Charitamrita set. We introduce them to a bona fide spiritual master, and then encourage them to get second initiation, and then they do deity worship. Devotees keeps encouraging each other. So it's amazing. Just a little negligence can destroy our spiritual life, and little appreciation can, you know, help us grow and grow and grow back to God at the Bhakti Lata Beach. So we can see how in this pastime, fear is predominant in this world, even in these heavenly planets. Because generally a conditioned soul thinks that I'm this body and everything in relation to this body is mine. But the problem is, if we identify with the body will be destroyed. And if we identify ourselves with people in relation to this body or gender or caste or color, they will all be destroyed as well. Or the planet will be destroyed. Everything, time takes away everything. We saw in the pastime of Gajendra. He was actually very embarrassed in front of his family members, and the family members couldn't help him either. Prabhupada calls him like fallible soldiers. So we can see how in the bodily concept, we are just so absorbed in ourselves. Too much ego. Most people come to spirituality again to focus on themselves. But after we come to real spiritual life, bhakti yoga, we understand it's not all about us, it's about Krishna. So we put ourselves last and Krishna first. So in the bodily concept, we can't really appreciate others' service. We're only so focused on like myself, you know, how I'm feeling, how I'm doing. But bhakti yoga is the opposite. We can see example of Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada appreciated anyone and he was grateful for anyone who did any service. Prabhupada was, you know, so appreciative and so encouraging and glorifying and giving credit to others. He would say things and do things to devotees that would, you know, keep them in Krishna consciousness even after Prabhupada left after 40 years. This feels so encouraged. So we can see in this purport and translation, Prabhupada is explaining how sometimes we make truce with enemies to get what we want. This is politics, you know, this is what all the big politicians are doing. But the amazing thing is the supreme absolute truth, the source of everything, Krishna or Vishnu is teaching the demigods this diplomacy and politics. Because everything has a purpose. Every emotion and every quality we can be engaged in Krishna's service. And we can see how the demons, they had so much faith in their power. In their own physical strength. And the demigods, even though they were weak, they had so much faith that they will win in this churning of milk ocean. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is on their side. So Vishnu is personally teaching them what to do in this situation. They're making a truce. Prabhupada writes in one purport how great men cheat for great cause. Unless we are great, we shouldn't cheat. We don't know what to do, then we get in trouble. We fall down. But Prabhupada writes like this, great men cheat for a great cause. So for Krishna's service, the demigods are willing to make truce with the demons. And we can see, Prabhupada is translating in this verse, he says, O demigods, fulfilling one's own interest is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of snake and the mouse. Prabhupada is talking about self-interest. So many people have different understandings of what is the self. There's a difference between selfishness and self-interest. And some people think self is cause of all problems in this material world. To be a person is so problematic. The body is painful, the relationships are painful, you have to work hard, everything breaks down. So they want to become nothing. They want to become void. They want to become disappear. Like one time Prabhupada was talking to this Buddhist preacher. And Prabhupada asked him, so what is your philosophy? And the Buddhist man Guru said, oh, to become nothing. And Prabhupada looked like surprised at him. Nothing? And people are joining you? Prabhupada was surprised to hear his goal. So we have people with that kind of goal. And we also have people that think the self is non-different from Krishna. They think there is no difference between us and God. They think they are God. But the Vaishnavas have the clear understanding of the real self and the self-interest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupa Hoi Krishnera Nitya Das. The real self, the soul, is the eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And to serve that source, serve Krishna, that's actually the real self-interest. So, here we can see, for a higher cause, the demigods are making a deal with the demons. And this happens so many occasions throughout the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and like this. For Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's service, a devotee is willing to take risk. You can see in the Krishna book how, you know, Devaki just got married and she was going on the chariot of Kamsa. Kamsa was such a nice brother, was such a big king, very powerful king with the power of thousands of elephants. And when he heard this Akashvani, this voice from the sky, told him how, you know, Devaki's son will be the cause of his death. Immediately, like, all the celebration went out the window. He took out his sword and wanted to kill Devaki right away. But Vasudev, being so intelligent, that's the thing. You can see how Prabhupada and Krishna is training us how to be intelligent in Krishna's service. Devotees are not foolish. Devotees do the needful and like sharp, clever. So Vasudev pacified him with so many arguments and promises. Basically Vasudev told him, you know, it's going to be Devaki's eighth son, why are you killing her? I'll bring all my kids to you, you can do whatever you want. And Prabhupada explains, you know, the Goswami prayers we sing, Dhira, Dhira, Jana, Priyo, Priyakaro. A devotee is very pleasing, not only to the gentle, but also to the demons. So, Vasudev was such a man of his word and character and so special that even Kamsa believed him. Can you imagine? Such a big demon. But just because Vasudev promised him, okay, I'll bring all my children to you and they're born, don't harm Devaki. He said, okay. Can you imagine? It's so important, this character and purity, so people can trust us and follow. And we saw in the past times of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was actually a minister in the Nawab Hussein Shah's kingdom. But Sanatana Goswami was such a devotee that he would call in sick all the time and he would be studying Bhagavatam in his palace with the pandits. So one day Nawab Hussein Shah just wanted to check on Sanatana Goswami and he was surprised to see that Sanatana Goswami is not sick. He's actually discussing Bhagavatam. So Nawab Hussein Shah got so offended, he actually put him in jail. And Sanatana Goswami wanted to escape and go and serve Lord Chaitanya just like Rupa Goswami was doing. And Sanatana Goswami was so clever, so intelligent. Like we see the Prabhupada saying, snake and the mouse, logic. He was put in the prison, but he's thinking how to get out. So Sanatana Goswami told this guard, this jail keeper, that, you know, you're such a pious Muslim, I can tell from your life and activities, and you're very spiritual. And it says in your Quran that whoever you assist going to Mecca, and you will also get benefits, spiritual benefits, and get liberation for that. So can you kindly allow me? I want to go to Mecca. And this guard was hesitant. And then Sanatan Goswami said, you know, if you let me go, I'll give you so many gold coins. Still this man was hesitant. And then Sanatan Goswami increased the number of gold coins that he's offering. And then the guard said, what will I tell Nawab Hussain Shah? Sanatan Goswami said, oh, just tell Nawab that I went to Pastool near the river and then I got washed away with my chains and lock. So the guard let him go and Sanatan Goswami escaped. And on the way there, you know, he was staying in an inn. Sanatan Goswami went with his servant, Ishan, and they stayed in like a small motel like. And this innkeeper was a big rascal. He had an astrologer with him that would tell him that anybody who comes and stays in their lodge with money, the astrologer would tell the innkeeper. So the astrologer told the guy, the innkeeper, that Sanatan Goswami has 8 gold coins. So the innkeeper decided to kill Sanatan Goswami and Ishan overnight and take all the money. And he was so nice, this innkeeper was so nice to Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami, being so clever and a politician himself, he asked his servant, Ishan, you know, do you have any valuables with you? Do you have any money on you? Ishan said, I have 8 gold coins. And Sanatan Goswami figured, oh, no wonder this innkeeper is so nice to me. And Sanatan Goswami chastised this servant, Ishan, why have you brought this death knell with you? So Sanatan Goswami grabbed, Ishan told him he has 7 gold coins. So Sanatan Goswami grabbed all the coins and gave it to the innkeeper and said, you know, I wanted to offer you this. And the innkeeper said, you know, you're so fortunate you offered me these gold coins, because I would have killed you to get these gold coins tonight. And the innkeeper was so moved by the intelligence and saintly qualities of Sanatan Goswami, he refused to take the money. And Sanatan Goswami told him, if you don't take this money, somebody else is going to kill me, so better you take it. And then Sanatan Goswami went back and asked Ishan, do you have any more money? And Ishan said, actually I'm hiding 1 gold coin. Sanatan Goswami said, you know, taking you with me is trouble, so you take that 1 gold coin and go back home. So he sent him back. So we can see how a devotee is so intelligent, and he knows how to get out of difficult situations and different situations. So we can live comfortably in this world and spread Krishna consciousness. And we can see in the life and pastimes of Prabhupada, Prabhupada was so intelligent, was not a typical sadhu. Prabhupada was so special. You can see how Prabhupada was fighting for this land, this Hare Krishna land in Juhu, with the help of Giriraj Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Shyam Sundar Prabhu. Prabhupada was so intelligent. Even the lawyers and Nair himself admitted to Prabhupada's disciples, your guru is so different, so special. Prabhupada knew what to say and what to do, and he was willing to fight to get the land. And it's actually mentioned how Prabhupada, one time he was in New Zealand and he was getting a massage, and he got a phone call saying how Mr. Nair is dead, He had a heart attack and died. And Prabhupada immediately like clasped his palms and started offering prayers to Krishna in joy. And the disciple that was massaging couldn't understand, like, how can a saintly person be happy when somebody dies? On top of that, Prabhupada said to him, I was praying to Krishna that he would do something to this demon. So the devotee was confused, you know, what kind of sadhu that prays, what kind of saintly person that prays somebody who's died. But Prabhupada said, you know, Prahlad Maharaj prayed, Modete sadhurapi vrishchika sarpahatya. That even Prabhupada, when he went to see his spiritual master one time in Gaudiya Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was standing in the balcony and he saw there was a snake in the courtyard and he ordered the disciples to kill the snake. And Prabhupada, as a young man, he was confused, how can a sadhu order a living entity to be killed? And then when Prabhupada was reading this pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj says to Narsingadev that you killed my father, but even a saintly person is happy when a scorpion or snake is killed. So this is mood, like very practical. Prabhupada, if we study the life and teachings of Prabhupada, he was, you know, he was willing to do anything, take risks. Prabhupada said, my disease is I cannot think small. Always taking risks. You know that story how in London they needed some deities to be installed in, you know, the temple, the new temple. So in those days, you know, there were not much Indian influence and they were hard to find deities. But all of a sudden Prabhupada got a call saying some Indian man said, we have a set of deities, for some reason we're not going to install them. If you're interested, you come and take a look. So Prabhupada went with Tamal Krishna Maharaj immediately, like, let's go, you know, Krishna wants to appear. And then when they went there, you know, Prabhupada is like chit-chatting with the guy that invited them, like, how are you, how is your business, how is your family members, so on and so forth. And the man is becoming more and more anxious, like, and then he asks, like, Swamiji, you know, don't you want to see the deities? Prabhupada says, yeah, I can see the deities. So when they brought the deities, still Prabhupada is like acting as if he's not even interested. And then all of a sudden Prabhupada says to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, like, you take, you know, Srimati Radharani and you go to the car and somebody else pick up Krishna and you. And the man is like, Swamiji, you know, I will give it to you another time. Prabhupada is like, no, it's okay. Krishna wants to come now. So they drove off and then Prabhupada asked him to pull over like few blocks later and then stopped and then offered prayers like with tears in his eyes. He's praying like Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhaja. And Radharani had a small chip in her pinky. That's why these Indian people were not going to install her. But Prabhupada said that was Krishna's arrangement so they can come to us. And we were watching in the memories how Prabhupada wanted to buy this temple in Toronto. And the devotees presented to Prabhupada and said, you know, Prabhupada, there is this beautiful temple with a nice temple room, brahmachari, you can make a nice brahmachari ashram, brahmacharini ashram, kitchen, so on and so forth. But they're asking $500,000. And Prabhupada was saying, oh, $500,000, why buy big temples with so much money and, you know, it's a headache. It's going to disturb our minds. Better we go out on book distribution. My Guru Maharaj never wanted any temples. He just wanted to preach. And then Prabhupada asked them, so how big is the kirtan hall? How nice is the temple? And then the devotee explained, oh, it's so nice. And then Prabhupada says, like, ask them if they will give it to us for 300,000. And tell them, we will worship Jesus Christ on the altar along with Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, what's the use? So much money, investment, it's going to give us headache, forget it. And again, Prabhupada asked him, it's a nice temple, you think? Can we go see? And then they went and saw. And Prabhupada asked this devotee, how much money do you have in this, Canada Yatra? Said, 40,000. Can you get another 60,000 somehow? 60,000? And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, we can try. And then he calls, Rameshwar Prabhu, and says, how much money do we have in the BBT? 200,000. Send it immediately. We want to buy this property for Krishna. And then the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why go through all this? It's a headache. It's a struggle. Prabhupada slammed his fist. There must be headaches. There must be risk for Krishna. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Eat, mate, sleep and defend. So you can see Prabhupada was so clever, so intelligent, not a typical, like yogi or sadhu. Even his god brothers, they're amazed how Prabhupada was able to go overseas and establish all these centers and managing all these Western kids that were with no training whatsoever. So the point being is, we have to be intelligent and use our intelligence in the service of Krishna and be enthusiastic. So any questions or comments? Jack wants to ask a question. Can you give the mic, somebody?
Thank you for a nice class. I was just talking to Sri Sachinandana yesterday in the kitchen about, this is just a comment, about Jains in Southeast Asia, who you go to their temples and they're covered in rats because they have this idea of nonviolence that's kind of forced, don't kill a pest or something that, and you see in their temples, it's just you can't even sit down because it's covered in rats. But here, you can, do your duty for Krishna and even kill for Krishna.
You're asking?
No, I'm just connecting it with the snake and Bhaktisiddhanta.
Prabhupada didn't agree with this non-violence, because violence has a spiritual purpose also. It's actually mentioned how India was invaded by so many outside influence because artificially these Jains and Buddhists, they thought will be peaceful and non-violent. So they let the doors open for all kinds of outside influence. But for preaching purposes, Prabhupada wanted us to do the needful. We can't have temple full of cockroaches and rats, because we are supposed to attract people to come. But at the same time, Prabhupada explained, if you're clean and also grow enough that we can feed other living entities also. Prabhupada said, if you're clean, then no rats or cockroaches will come. But sometimes, we have to do the needful. We are in the cities and, for example, we have so many bugs in the ashram. What are you going to do, We have to clean. Jai. Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Huh? How was the turnout last night? Slow. Any new people?
There was 3 new people.
Oh, really? That's not slow.
That's good. Yeah. Anytime you have a new person, that's a good thing.
Come on, you guys will be late. Every South Indian in LA should be coming here. They're not doing it really. They should be out there shaking the South Indian streets and getting all the
I think we do one day this one. We will be surprised.